Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I'm guessing that many of you have probably heard this story before, but it seems there was a game warden who was concerned and very suspicious about a fisherman who always came home with more fish than anybody else received. And so he decided he was going to go fishing with him to find out what was going on and how he was so successful. So early in the morning, he and this man headed out onto the lake. The fisherman steered his boat into an isolated lagoon and dropped anchor and opened his tackle box and took out a half a stick of dynamite and lit the fuse, and the game warden watched with his mouth wide open as the man held the dynamite until the fuse was very short, and then he hurled it into the water, and as it struck the water, it detonated, and stunned and dead fish floated to the top. And as the man began to gather the fish, the game warden began to shout, "What's the matter with you? Can't fish that way. It's illegal. I'm placing you under arrest." But as the warden carried on, the fisherman calmly reached into his tackle box and took out another stick of dynamite and lit the fuse, handed it to the game warden, and said, "Hey, you going to talk or are you going to fish?" Now, I don't know that I can call myself a fisherman. I like to catch fish, but I'm not very good at just sitting in a boat if the fish aren't biting. I just don't have the patience. So sometimes the idea of fishing with dynamite sounds like a pretty good idea. But while the thought of getting immediate results can be very tempting, the reality is it's still illegal, not to mention a little dangerous. That's for the kids here, so they know that. Don't do that. Now, our gospel lesson may not be intended to give, or may be intended to give encouragement to fishermen like me. Not in terms of fishing for fish, but in terms of fishing for people. For those who labor at sharing the good news of Jesus with what appears to be little success, at least according to their standards and hopes, I think our gospel lesson gives us some hope. We heard Peter say to Jesus, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing." But you know, those aren't just Peter's words. I think they're the words of every Christian who has shared his or her faith, or taught Bible class or Sunday school, or prayed for and talked to family or friends with the hope that what they do might make a spiritual difference in their lives. It isn't unusual for workers in the Lord's vineyard, be they pastors or teachers or missionaries or parents or friends of those who don't know Jesus as Savior, to watch as the days and the weeks and the months and sometimes the years go by with seemingly nothing accomplished from their efforts. And that can be very discouraging. See, when God called you and me into his family, he made us a new creation, and he gave us a purpose this side of heaven. He asks us to go fishing with him, to patiently give witness to those he puts in our lives who don't know him as Savior and Lord. And yet, so few of us, myself included, really give this calling the attention it deserves. All too often, fear, discouragement, everyday responsibilities can distract us from our calling to be spiritual fishermen. And that can lead us to want to give up rather than hanging in there and keeping on, keeping on. Now, I think there are at least two reasons it's easy to become confused or discouraged. The first is that we don't trust our tools. We don't trust the tools that God gives us because they seem so inadequate. After all, what are a few words? But while the words we speak may seem ordinary and simple to us, this is the way God makes himself known. Scripture shows us that God reveals himself in the ordinary, right where his children live, eat, work, cry, struggle, and rejoice. There's nothing ordinary about the words that we speak when we speak about Jesus. God promises that his words will accomplish the purposes for which he sends them. And that's what makes it possible for me to get into this pulpit every week, quite honestly. God tells me to trust that he will use the words that I speak to do what he wants them to do. And for what it's worth, part of the prayer that I pray before standing before you is, Lord, where what I say is your word, let it be heard. And where it is my word, let it not. But God always seems to come to us in ordinary ways, doesn't he? We believe in trust that he creates faith and bestows the Holy Spirit through the water and the word of holy baptism. We believe it because that's what he says happens. We believe in trust that he comes to us personally, forgiving us, strengthening us through bread and wine in his supper. We believe it because that's what he says is happening. We believe in trust that as we gather as his people of faith, he's with us, using us to give hope and comfort, encouragement, and strength to one another. We believe it because that's where he says he is. And if those things are true for us, they're certainly true for others as well. You know, one of the things that's most daunting to me about fishing is that it seems so complicated. When I go into a sporting goods store and start browsing around the fishing section, I'm very quickly overwhelmed by all the lures and the different rods and reels and other fishing accoutrements. What kind of tackle do you use? What kind of line do you use? Do you use spider wire? Do you use nylon? And then I start to listen to fishermen talk, and it gets worse. They describe the importance of water depth and temperature layers and the kinds of weeds certain fish need and prefer. Where do you even begin? And where does it ever end? We might tend to feel the same way about going fishing with God. He certainly can't use me. I haven't got any special training or expertise. I don't know the Bible well enough. My life sure isn't a showcase for what it means to be a Christian. What if I invite someone to church and they get bored? Or if the pastor chooses some really hard hymns to sing? Like that ever happens. I mean, that bothers me at times. What about them? Can't God make things just a little more enticing? But instead of thinking like that, maybe we just need to start fishing. Stop worrying about reasons not to fish and let the Holy Spirit do his work with us. God promises that as we give witness to Christ's love and mercy through the words that we speak and through acts of love that we perform in his name, he will work in people's hearts to reveal his love to them. Words and acts of kindness are such simple things, but they can truly communicate God to others, especially when they know that one of the main reasons we do it is because we know how much God loves us. Second reason I believe we become discouraged is because we think God's timetable is our timetable. One woman tells the story of buying a red-flowering crab apple tree. She planted it according to the instructions from the nursery and watered it, but it didn't exactly thrive. In fact, one day, as she looked at it, she could see that one by one, the leaves were dropping off. But her husband failed to see the urgency of the situation and just said, hey, just give it a little time. The next spring, it did a little better. The branches and had buds that were swelling and leaves formed, but there were no flowers. And so the woman told her husband, that's it. I'm getting rid of this flowering crabapple tree. But her husband surveyed the scraggly branches and said, eh, maybe this isn't the flowering kind. Some of them never blossom, you know. So she checked the tag again. Sure enough, it said, flowering crabapple tree, red. Third spring came. Still no flowers. But this time her husband took her outside, showed her some tiny clusters of red balls nestling among the leaves. And then some years later, the woman said that as she watches this little red tree become brilliant with color, it reminds her of how impatient she can get with other things in her life as well. You know, if we're looking for some quick conversion of those with whom we share our faith, we may well be setting ourselves up for disappointment. Now, I'm not saying God can't do things quickly. Certainly can. Of course he can. After all, he's God. I mean, you know, he can do whatever he wants. But remember this. The events of the Bible didn't happen in just a day or two. We read a very compressed history. You can sit down and read the book of Acts in just a couple of hours. But the events of that book took place over some 25 or 30 years. Paul and the other apostles fished for years as they shared Jesus with those around him. So as we go fishing with Jesus, this is, I think, often happens. We toss a line in the water, and when we don't reel in any fish, we get impatient and we're tempted to give up. Like Peter, right? Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Maybe it's time to break out the dynamite. But God calls us to trust him, who says that he will do his work in his time. You may have heard this before, but many years ago, Mother Teresa, the nun who labored for most of her life in the slums of India, had been invited to a special dinner in Washington. And she was seated next to one of the high-ranking congressmen. And over the course of the meal, he leaned over and said that it was obvious that she would never be able to care for all the poor people that she met every day. The task was just too great. How could she go on and on, day after day, when she knew she would never succeed? To which she replied, "Senator, God did not call me to be successful. He called me to be faithful." Now, while there are probably going to be many times that we feel like Peter, wonder if it's really possible to accomplish anything for the Lord, we need to remember that all God asks us to do is faithfully let down our nets and let the Lord fill them as he will. One other thing. Look what happened when Peter and the other disciples, for Peter and the other disciples, says, "Master, we toiled all night, took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. When they obeyed the Lord, there was a result. The reality is, there's a reward, even in quiet, patient faithfulness. Success may come. It may come. It may come only after much prayer and work and waiting. Or we may not even see the end result of what God is doing. Someone else may experience the joy of the work that we began. That's what Paul means when he says, remember, one sows and another reaps. But whether we see it or not, that's irrelevant. God will do his work and accomplish his purposes. That's his promise. There was a chaplain who was with a severely wounded soldier when the dying man asked him to write a letter to his former Sunday school teacher, and he said this. He said, "Tell her I died a Christian because of what she taught me in that class in church. The memory of the warmth of her love and her earnest pleas for us to follow Jesus has stayed with me, and tell her I'll meet her in heaven." The chaplain wrote the letter and sometime later received this reply, "May God forgive me. Last month I resigned my position and abandoned my Sunday school pupils because I felt that my work was fruitless. How I regret my impatience and lack of faith. I'm going to ask my pastor to let me go back to teaching. I've learned that if one sows for God, the reaping will come." Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." I encourage you to do what Jesus told Peter and the other disciple to do. Go fishing. Share the love of Christ. the one who gave himself so that we might have life. And trust, hold on to, patiently believe. Trust that he will accomplish what he wants done. Amen.